Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Hey, Gail tapped her friend Marcia on the shoulder in the checkout line. How's it going? Okay, I guess, sighed Marcia. Corey just turned 3, and I'm trying to figure out whether I should put him into daycare or preschool or just trade off babysitting with a neighbor on the days when I have to work. That's a hard call, Gail replied. I remember when Danny was 3, I thought I'd go out of my mind if I didn't find a place where he could run around and play all day. And you had Megan, too, then, Gail reminded her, and she was only about 4 months old. Yeah, Marcia nodded. I really needed some relief at that point. But I remember agonizing over what place was best for Danny and for me. That's it, Gail shook her head. How do people figure it all out and make the right decision? From a parent's perspective, what should we know about choosing a preschool? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has worked with early childhood education extensively in a variety of settings. Miriam Feinberg was formerly director of the Early Childhood Department of the Board of Jewish Education of Greater Washington, D.C., and instructor in the Washington, D.C. College of Jewish Studies. Currently, she produces a holiday newsletter series for families with young children and is an online instructor in the Department of Education at Gratz College in Philadelphia. She has served as an educational consultant to schools in Thailand, Vietnam, and Sri Lanka under the auspices of Save the Children and UNICEF. Mickey has 3 married children and 5 grandchildren. Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
In this era of electronic stimulation and educational toys, why is a preschool experience still important for children?
It is more important now than it used to be. We know that there are children who would prefer to spend all of their time with electronic stimulation and educational toys. But that's not really useful to them and to their development. So many children have those toys at home and get transfixed by them and somehow forget to engage with other people. And socialization and developing friendships and close relationships is what's really important in developing into the kind of people that we hope children will develop into.
Have there been studies comparing children who attended preschool with children who did not in middle school or high school outcomes?
There have been a few studies over the decades since the 1960s, but the one that's most interesting and relevant from my perspective, is discussed in an article titled British Research Confirms Benefits of Preschool for All. And that article appeared in a journal called Preschool Matters, a journal of the National Institute for Early Education Research of December 2008. So that was not so long ago. And the good thing about that article is it had a fairly large sample, 3,000 children in 141 schools at age 10. Some of them were from a high-income background, some of them from low-income backgrounds, and some had attended preschool and some had not attended preschool. And the benefits were quite remarkable. At age 10, it was found that those students who had attended a high quality, not high income, but high quality preschool scored 27% higher than those who had attended a poor or no preschool. Now, what they found was it didn't matter whether the students were from high-income backgrounds, middle-income backgrounds, or low-income backgrounds. What did matter was the quality of the school. It was found in this study from the University of London that the gains were in math skills and in reading and social skills.
There's a tendency for those of us listening to think, okay, so a good preschool better have them learning math, learning English, learning all these different academic skills.
Yeah. High-quality schools do not teach those skills, but prepare children and their families with skills that will help them later in learning, such as how to work alone with an intensity that encourages completion of tasks, how to engage others in supportive help when needed, how to work collaboratively, how to use materials in the environment, how to organize ideas and materials.
And how do those kinds of things get taught to preschoolers?
Through the environment, with good teachers, consistent teachers who are well-trained and consistently retrained in programs that have family education, that have sufficient number of staff to work with the number of students there.
What we're really talking about is what kinds of real-life experiences would help this process so that we all sort of are on the same page.
So many real-life experiences in the program, not just sitting there and teaching the children the math skills, but taking the children to the store down the street and saying, well, if we want to bake today, what do we need? What ingredients do we need to bake apples? So let's make a list. What ingredients do we need? What steps should we take? How much money should we take with us?
Just counting the apples.
Counting the apples.
Measuring the cup of flour and so forth.
And following the task from beginning to end. And then, of course, including the parents in the feedback of what happened in the school so that the parents have some idea of what's going on there and then can repeat the experience at home at a later time. So there's follow-up at home. And on an ongoing basis, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, these kinds of experiences add up to create an environment in which the children and their families see the entire environment in which they live as a learning experience.
So what you're really saying is at the very basic part of this, parents need to be welcome in that preschool.
Oh, yes.
And need to feel that their involvement is significant.
And when parents are seeking an environment that would be good for their children, they should feel welcome there and comfortable there. They should also understand that there are times when the school needs to have some rules, and they should respect the rules because the rules are for the benefit of everyone in the community. Sometimes, for instance, there are rules about who should not come to school because of health issues, and that's an important rule. Maybe there are rules about parents not just being around the school offering more help than is needed at the time because there's a program going on in which too many people will not help, but will hinder the program. So I think parents have to be told very specifically what the rules are, to respect the rules, and at the same time to feel very welcome into the school. And I hope they do not think that is conflicting because it really is for the benefit of all of the children in the school and the families.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on choosing a preschool.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Mickey Feinberg about choosing a preschool. What are the usual ages for children to attend preschool? Is it significant when a child starts?
It really is not significant. There are some children who benefit greatly from attending a program when they are 1.5 or 2, or even younger. If the parents are in need of childcare because of their work situation, there's nothing wrong with placing their child in a good program at age 6 months. If the parent has done really good research and found a program that will take very good care of their child, there's nothing wrong with placing that six-month-old in a loving and caring environment that's stimulating in a helpful way. On the other hand, if the parent is prepared to have a playgroup with neighborhood children and parents that is fun and helpful to the child's growth, why not stay at home at age two and play with neighborhood children in a somewhat structured way in different homes and go to a more formal preschool at age three? Either way, it depends upon the circumstances of each family, the neighborhood, the school or the center which the parent is able to find.
Occasionally, you'll hear about a mother in the group who really doesn't enjoy having the four little children come to play at her house for two hours every week or every other week or whatever. And that's a situation, I think, where that parent should rethink the choice. I did that with my children when they were little, and I loved those playgroups, and I still know where those children are as full-fledged adults.
My youngest child was in a playgroup with two other little boys from the time he was a year and a half, and they have remained friends till this day. They are 39 years old, and they care very much about each other, and the parents are friends as well. And it's a very wonderful relationship that developed out of that. And isn't that what life's about, is developing caring relationships where we go on with these established relationships that make us feel fulfilled and capable because we have people who care about us? That is what we're trying to develop in young children through the preschool experience. Capable people who develop into caring and giving adults who know how to establish relationships.
Mickey, would you differentiate for us between preschool and daycare?
Today, there are some preschools that have longer hours than half day, than two half days, and that daycare can be shorter. What we're really concerned with is the quality of the program, whether it be in a home environment with a professional provider at her home or at his home, or whether it be in a center. And that's what's really important. What is the quality of the program? So I think we need to put aside that terminology and not worry about it.
And how would you advise a parent who's now sort of like the parent in the story, frantically trying to find an appropriate setting? What kind of guidelines would you give somebody to choose an appropriate place?
There's a lot of stress that people feel in choosing the best program for their child. And over we hear it's the first 6 years that really make the difference in a child's life. And I do feel that those first 6 years are important. But I also feel that we need not to stress so much about that, because children are more resilient than we give them benefit of being. And we need to just plan how we look for schools or programs and when we look for it, and not to get too stressed out. I have to tell you that as an early childhood trained educator, I too was stressed when I looked for a program for my children.
And what made you stressed out?
I wanted to be sure to find the best program for my child. And I did start looking early and try to spread out the times when I would be looking for a program so that it wasn't so intense. So whenever I had some child care for my child, I used that time to contact a program, to visit the program, and to interview the director. And I kept a list of all the programs. I talked to friends and neighbors. Well, at the time, I didn't have an internet to look on because it didn't exist. But I do recommend that people look on the internet, look in their neighborhood, because it is a good idea to find a program that is not so far away that it's very difficult and time-consuming to get to. And you also want to be sure that your child has after-school contacts with children from the neighborhood who also attend the school. There are a few guidelines to really focus on. How many children are in the program and how many children are in the class? And I would say that what you should look for is the low child teacher ratio, which means...
What is that?
The teacher, the staff, should not have too many children to care for.
And what does that mean? Is it different for different ages?
It's different for different ages. It's different for different jurisdictions. But you need to find out what the jurisdictions require and how many staff there are in the classroom.
If you're inexperienced in this field and you go in and see a bunch of kids and a couple of teachers, what's too many kids?
You should ask the director, what is the child teacher ratio required or permitted in this jurisdiction? And the director should know that.
But sometimes, don't you think that what's permitted may be a little more than what you think
that's
is
correct.
Optimum? So taking an inexperienced parent, what would you say to pay attention to?
Well, with two-year-olds, I know that in some jurisdictions, the requirement is 10 to 2. To the
teachers or a teacher and an aide?
A teacher and an aide. But to tell you the truth, you should not, as a person observing, should not know who is the teacher and the aide. Mm-hmm. The assistant may have less formal training and have a lower salary. But that is not what you need to see. You need to see two adults working side by side in the classroom. You really need to see two competent adults working with the children. That is, I think, one of the very important things to look for. I think you need to find out how much feedback there is to the parents from the director. For instance, you need to ask the director, how do you involve parents? How do you educate parents? How would you inform me as a parent of my child's adjustment to this class and progress? How would you involve the parents in the school? Do you have parent programs? What kind of educational programs do you have? How do you like parents to be involved? Do you want them to be in the school? Do you wish they not be in the school? Do you encourage them to bring their children into the classroom? Is there somebody who meets the carpool driver at the car door? How do you do it? And I think it's a good idea to encourage parents to bring their child to the room and not to chase them away, not to say, please, it's time to leave. Although there are parents who need to have that said to them sometimes because they'll spend a long time in the classroom and then it's not helpful to the other children. Is the school accredited? And it should be accredited by somebody. Who is it accredited by? Well, in the United States, there is a very respected accrediting association, and that is the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And that is a long and involved accreditation process, and it's a good thing to have. But some schools have chosen not to go that route, but to go with other accrediting organizations. And so you want to find about those as well. How are your teachers trained? How often are they retrained? These are the questions to be asked. And what is your philosophy? What is the school's philosophy and standards? Is it Montessori? Is it Steiner? Is it Reggio Emilia inspired? Is it a hybrid? Is it traditional? Whatever it is, it's okay as long as the director can articulate something about the philosophy.
And then make it clear to the parent what it is, because not all of us know all of the different philosophies.
That's true. And if the director cannot, I would say you should not, as a parent, feel so confident at being there. I would say that it is of the utmost importance to whittle down, after you've done all this research on the phone, to go and visit a certain number of programs to feel comfortable in a classroom and to be able to visit some classrooms and to feel comfortable and warm and good about staying there. Because if you, as an adult, as a parent, do not feel comfortable there, don't expect your child to feel comfortable there. If you feel comfortable there, maybe your child could feel comfortable there. That's where your child will be spending a great deal of time.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on choosing a preschool.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Mickey Feinberg about choosing a preschool.
When you look at a preschool setting or daycare setting or something, do you need to be sure that for young children there's a certain amount of physical movement allowed? In other words, you shouldn't see them sitting at tables or desks or things for long periods. How do you sort of know what's appropriate?
You know your own child, and you know how much activity your own child needs, and you should know this. And you should go to the program and see what happens there. And plan your time so that you're not just running in and running out of the program, but spend a morning there or a good hour there and see what the facilities are in the playground. Is there an indoor facility as well? What happens if it rains or snows or is too cold or too hot to go out? What are those children going to do during the time that they're there? Go look at that room. See teachers in that room with the children. How are they spending their time there? And what kinds of seating facilities do the children have in the classroom and for how long? Mm-hmm. Take your time. Start doing this early. Don't be in a rush. Keep a little notebook. Let the director know that you're doing this carefully because you want the best placement for your child. Directors who are good appreciate parents who do this. They want families and children who will work well with them. Feel good about what you see.
When you're looking for the best placement for your child, the your child, I think, is the key part of that.
Absolutely.
Because just because your neighbors are all sending their child to the latest, greatest, or what they see as good for their children doesn't mean it matches your child best.
Correct. And you may have three children, and you may have a different program for each because each child is different and may need a different type of facility. Maybe one needs a more open facility with opportunities to do things creatively and inventively. Maybe another child needs to have a facility with more boundaries.
Is it advisable to let our child visit any of the preschools we might be considering for that child?
The best thing to do would be for the parent to identify the most appropriate program or a couple of them, and with the director and the teacher of a class, decide if it would be appropriate for your child to visit. It's not really a good idea to take your child on all these investigations of different programs. It's very confusing for a child. Your child doesn't know whether you want him or her to be going to that program. Or maybe the child wants to stay home with you and doesn't want to go to any program. That's an opportunity for your child to act out at the school and do some inappropriate things. So you don't want to do that to your child or to the program until you are sure that it's a program you would like your child to go to, and that the director and the teacher would like you to bring the child. So work with them.
Mickey, before we close, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue some of these issues a little further?
You could look on the website www.naeyc.org. That's the National Association for the Education of Young Children, a wonderful, reliable organization. When you get on that website, click on to accreditation and then accredited program search. And you will find a link that will list the accredited schools in the United States and in the U.S. territories around the world, because there are many military bases around the world that have accredited programs. Another one is from the National Association of Family Child Care, www.nafcc.org. Also a possibility is www.babycenter.com. You will follow the links there and you can find some other information.
Well, this has been a wonderful, informative period for all of us. So we are very glad to have had a lot of this information that we might not have had before. So Mickey Feinberg, thank you so very much for being with us today and helping us to know how better to choose a preschool.
I'm so happy to be here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 425 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the Evelyn Sachs Trust. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.